Welcome to the King's Church podcast. We are an ACC church based on the Gold Coast in Queensland, Australia. We'd love for you to join us on any given Sunday. In the meantime, we hope this message blesses you.
Thank you so much. Hey, why don't you grab a seat where you are, and thank you for coming out. If we haven't met, my name is Noah, and my wife Michelle and I lead this campus here at Reedy Creek. We are one church in four locations, Reedy Creek, Pimpamar, Logan Village, and St. George. Big hello to St. George if you are tuning in. Love you guys. And our senior pastor, Ben Naitoko, is up the road at Pimpamar ministering there this morning. So I have the amazing privilege of leading us this morning in the Word. And I want to ask you a question. How many of you like long road trips? You're some messed up people, let me tell you. When I was a kid during the 80s, you know, one of the long road trips we used to have to do was down to Sydney. And I detested it because you're squished up. I'm one of five, so you got all the kids and mum and dad. But probably one of the worst things that was that we were subjected to whatever was playing on the radio, or on those special occasions, someone has made a mixtape. Now, this is for millennials and zoomers. You don't know what a cassette tape is. But before the internet, before the iPhone, we had these things in the car called cassette players. And so my siblings will, they've compiled this mixtape and, you know, these songs. And the whole idea was to help ease the pain of that long road trip. And so, you know, they'd put it together and we'd play it, and every now and then it would jam, so you'd have to eject it, stick a pen in it and sort of wind it back manually, and then play, and there'd be arguments, you know. If there's one more Celine Dion song, I'm telling you, I'm tossing that thing out the window. But it was, the whole idea was to help ease the drama of that road trip. Well, today We're gonna read about another mixtape. It's actually a playlist. And if you've got your Bibles, in Psalm 127, we're going to be reading this. And Psalm 127 is part of a group of songs called the Songs of Ascent. And this was like a playlist for the pilgrims in Israel that would have to travel up three times a year up to Jerusalem in their family groups to worship. So family groups from all around the country would come. And these 15 songs were written by a couple of different people. King David had written most of them. Some of them were anonymous. But the one smack bang in the middle, chapter 127, is the one we're going to look at. And it was written by King David's son, Solomon, the wisest man to have ever lived apart from Jesus. So he writes this, and so this is part of that group of songs called the Pilgrim's Playlist. And so we're going to read from verse 1 if you've got it with you. If not, we do have it on the screen here. Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would illuminate our eyes, give us a heart to understand, not just to hear your word, but to be able to apply it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have been with us for the last few weeks, you'll know that we've been in a series called Family Matters. So family matters and families do matter. And so I want to look today about the foundations that we need to build in four areas of our lives, our family lives, but also in other areas. And I was sharing in the first service how my family and I, we bought a house a few years back that was in a really great location, and we got it at a really great price. The issue was that it came with an engineer's report. And it came with an engineer's report because there were foundational issues. And so we knew this taking it on, but I guess we sort of went in. It was, you know, we maybe bit off more than we could chew. And over a period of time, we soon discovered that there were cracks that were appearing all over the walls. And at one point, our daughter's bedroom, half of it literally shifted, you know, it sort of moved as a crack appeared. And we were given two choices by the builders and engineers, and they said, look, we can kind of lift the house and underpin it with the foundations, or you can just level it and start over. And so I believe that as we look at family life, as we look at your own personal life, your work life, in every area of our lives, I believe that the most fundamental thing that we need to address is our foundation. And we are finding out through Scripture, this one, that Solomon here is giving us a clue about the foundation that we need to lay. He says, unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord guards the city, the Lord gives rest to those, sleep to those of his beloved. The fruit of the womb is a reward from the Lord. So all throughout we find that it is God behind it. And this is my big idea. This is my big idea that I want you to walk away with. If Jesus, the Lord, isn't a foundational feature, you can't make him an optional extra. Jesus Christ himself must be a foundational feature. He cannot be an optional extra. So many times we kind of go through life, and even if we attend church, and Jesus becomes something that we sort of attach to our busy schedules. But what we're about to find out here is that our very starting point must be Jesus himself. It must be Jesus himself. In fact, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 27 says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, being Jesus, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So I believe that in the very first area that we need to establish our foundation, it is in this area of family. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, he's not just talking about a dwelling place, he's talking about a group that live in that household. Even individuals, even if you are single right now, that your foundation first and foremost has to be Jesus Christ himself. You know, I mentioned also before that some of us look at our families and think, my family is so dysfunctional. We are so messed up. There is so much drama going on. Let me welcome you to the human race. The very first family was dysfunctional. They had an issue with the landlord. They breached their lease. They got kicked out of their home. Not only did they get evicted from their home, but their eldest son kills the second son. So in one day, they not only lose everything, but they lose two sons, one to death and one to exile. And you thought your family was dysfunctional. You know, so there is absolutely no family, you know, and let's be real, there was only one fully functional person that ever walked this earth, and they crucified him. But all of us have different levels of dysfunction. So if you are looking at your family and you're thinking, man, we are too messed up, we are too far gone, I want to invite you to this day that we have the opportunity to even lay a brand new foundation, that we may not be able to start back where we began, but we can start right now where we are right now. So we need to lay a foundation first and foremost in our families, and even singles, you know, Sometimes I was speaking to single guys and that Christians, and they're talking about the type of woman that they would like to meet. And they might use Proverbs 31 as sort of like a checklist. You know, so Pastor Ben spoke about Proverbs 31 last week. And this is that woman that is, you know, she's the one that every Christian guy is kind of looking for because she is outstanding. She is amazing. And my question to these guys are, that's great if you want a Proverbs 31 woman, but are you a Proverbs 31 man? Because if you read that scripture, it doesn't start with a woman. The first 11 verses talks about a man, and he's a king, and he's disciplined, and he's intelligent, and he's rich. Hello, ladies. So before you meet the Proverbs 31 woman, fellas, make sure you are the Proverbs 31 man, because we don't even get to her until we're introduced to him. And a Proverbs 31 man, it is my belief that his foundation is Jesus Christ. You know, he might look cute, 6'3" with a six-pack and drive a Range, but if Jesus Christ is not his foundation, then I would just kick that to the curb. Amen. Make sure that he is... he does have Christ as his foundation. The next thing we see is that it says, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So after Jesus becomes foundational in our families, we are now looking at a city or a community, which is a group of households or a group of families. The Bible says that as Christian believers that we belong to this community of faith. And that Paul tells us, you know, don't give up the gathering, you know, as some have, but even more as the day approaches, that we gather even more. Now, we understand that time that we are living in right now, so whether we are gathering online or on site, the purpose is that we are gathered and we are united because we share a foundation. That our foundation is not on a pastor's charisma or on a beautiful facilities, or it's not based on, you know, your friendships and relationships. Our foundation for this church is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So as we gather as a community, it is important for us to understand that Jesus Christ himself is our foundation. After we ensure that Jesus is the foundation for our families and our communities, we get down and it says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. So I believe that this is actually referring to his activity, our activity, whether it's our vocation, our career, our studies, our calling, whatever we are doing, that Jesus Christ also needs to be a foundation of that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, it says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So whatever work, vocation, study, career, whatever it is that we are doing, that we are to do it as unto the Lord. And that we are to do it with the attitude that because Christ is the foundation of even my work, then my work needs to reflect this. So it continues on, and I love the fact that he says there, you know, because a lot of us, this is what our life looks like. Rise up early, sit up late, and eating the bread of sorrows. So that is that bitter, sweet taste of, it doesn't matter how hard you work or how long you work, is never quite enough. There's never quite enough. And he says, but he will give his beloved sleep. So his beloved is those who are in relationship with him. And we think that we've got to do everything in our own efforts. And make no mistake, I'm not justifying or giving a license to laziness or slothfulness and thinking that God's going to magically do it himself. Because, you know, remember, this is authored by Solomon, who had one of the most amazing building programs while he was alive, and would constantly talk in Proverbs about the diligent being rewarded and the neglectful, you know, falling to ruin. And so that's not what he's saying here, but he is saying that when Christ is foundational, even in our work, that he can bless us even when we sleep. That we don't need to stress out constantly. And you know, in the 7 days of creation, when God actually made everything, there are 7 days, and there are 6 times that God says, that's good, that's good. You know, there's only one time that he actually blessed that day, and it was the day that he rested. So it tells us that God can actually even bless us when we're rested, that our work is good, but that even in our rest, God can bless that if we make Jesus Christ our foundation. And then finally, there is this shift. There is this shift from going from our families, our communities, and our activities to now it starts to talk about something new. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. I believe that the final thing that we see here in this passage that we need to make Christ the foundation of, after our family, after our community, after our activity, is our legacy. That our legacy needs to be planted and firmly founded on Jesus Christ himself. Many years ago, back in school, I used to run track. And I know you wouldn't think that looking at me now, but there was a time when I was built for speed. These days, I'm built for comfort. My school, we made it to the regionals for the 100-meter relay. And so I happened to be the quickest in that group. So, of course, I was going to run last and get all the glory and all of that. But no, we lined up, and it was up the road at QE2 Stadium. And we lined up, and the second quickest, he went first. He went first so that we could get a good head start. And the starter's gun went off, and he took off. Everything was looking good. He was in the lead. But then there came this point where he was about to change over to the second runner. And where I was standing, I could look across the field and I could see what was happening. The second runner went off too early. And then what happened was that the first runner went to pass the baton and dropped it. Not only did he drop it, but the second runner, in trying to get back, he actually fell over, tripped over and fell. So this is all taking place, and it looks like a comedy of errors, and everyone else is still continuing. By the time they get up and they get, you know, all the other transitions have already almost been completed, and I get, you know, the baton last and, you know, crossover last. And so I tell you all of that because when we talk about legacy in the church or Christian legacy about one generation to the next, we often hear this thing about passing on the baton. And I hate that illustration because of that. I realize, I get it. I understand what we're doing. We're transitioning and passing on. I don't like that illustration because batons can be dropped. In fact, one of the greatest baton drops in human history is in the first chapter of the book of Judges. It says that Joshua, the leader of Israel, and all the elders of his generation died. And a new generation arose who did not know the works of the Lord. And as a result of that, they ended up worshipping other idols and fell into captivity. So an entire generation dropped the baton. And as a result, the next generation suffered. So instead of talking about batons, I love the fact that Solomon here in all his wisdom says bow and arrow. So it's not about the baton, it's about the bow. That children are to be propelled forward. And so if you've ever seen Archers, and I've got some people to help illustrate here, sir, would you mind grabbing? So this is what it's meant to look like. So the first generation, he picks up his bow and he is standing and his feet are stable and secure because his foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. So he takes an arrow, he places it in the bow, and he pulls the string back and he launches that arrow. That arrow is the next generation. And so that arrow flies through and it lands here. So baton changes would happen there. The second person would have to get it where the first person left off. That's not what Solomon's saying here. He is saying that we are to propel forward. So after the first generation, they launch out to the second generation. It finally lands here. The second generation gets up and he is planted and his foundation is in Jesus Christ as well. And then he does his part. So as he pulls back his string, wow, that's impressive. He launches again. And so he launches, and now we have a brand new generation. And the brand new generation is starting not back where the second ended, but he is starting all the way forward. And so he too is founded on Jesus Christ as his foundation. And so he does the same. So he pulls back, and one day, not anytime soon, but one day there will be another. Would you please thank the Rogers men? Thank you. So Solomon is telling us here that children are to be propelled forward, that our ceiling is meant to be their flooring, that where we left off is where they actually begin. And the only way that that can happen is if our foundation is in Jesus Christ himself. You know, the God is a God of generations. In the Old Testament, my very favorite name that God gives himself is that he calls himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That he is a generational God. That he's not just looking at the here and now, but he is looking at the generations to come. And even the Apostle Paul, looking at a young Timothy, he says, this faith that you have, it didn't start with you. I saw it first in your grandmother Lois, then in your mother Eunice, and I am certain that it's also in you. That every single one of us as believers, that as we ensure that Christ is our foundation, that we are to propel forward to the next generation, that we are not just passing on a baton that could get dropped, but that we are stretching back. And parents, for those of you that are thinking, I raised my kids in church, they went to a Christian school, they went to kids' church, and now they're not walking with the Lord. You know that the arrows that are shot forward, that the greater the retraction back, the further the propulsion forward. And that sometimes it looks like they're being held back and it looks like they've walked away from God for now and it looks like they're away from the house of God and they don't even believe and they're doing crazy things. They're just being pulled back. They're just being pulled back. And I just prophesy there will be a day where they will be released and they will go past you and they will go far forward, further than you could ever imagine. And it's because of the foundation that you have established in your life. I love the fact that this psalm is actually written by an arrow that was propelled forward. Solomon is an arrow that was shot by his father, King David. The Bible says that King David had it in his heart to build the house of God, and God said to him, you won't build it, your son will build it. So you know what he did? He laid up so much resource, so much wealth, that so that when it was time for Solomon to build it, the Bible said that gold and silver was so commonplace in the nation at that time, it was as common as rocks, that there was so much peace and prosperity in that time. And it was because a previous generation were founded on the Lord Himself, and they chose to propel forward to the next. Everything that we are doing right now is not just for this generation. I am so grateful that we're a part of a church that's over 40 years old, that there were people many, many years ago that stood on the foundation that is Christ Himself and drew back and they shot. And today we are here because they shot into our future. And so now we have an opportunity to stretch back again and to shoot to the next generation. Whether they are your own biological children or, like the Apostle Paul, spiritual children that you are imparting to Timothy and Titus and others. But every single one of us are meant to leave a legacy for the next generations to come. That we don't want to be like the book of Judges and say, well, the generation after us, they did not know the works of the Lord. But it will happen if we ensure that Jesus is foundational and He's not optional. Amen. Worship team, why don't you come back up? And just as we close, I just want to give an opportunity for some of us, and maybe you're looking at areas in your life where there are cracks that are starting to appear. There are gaps and things are moving not for the best either. You know, I had this revelation the other day that the greatest stock exchange, the most powerful stock exchange on the planet, is not the ASX in Sydney or the FTSE in London or even the NASDAQ in New York, but the most powerful stock exchange on the planet is the Church of the Living God. Because we may not trade in stocks and shares, but we do trade in our problems for God's promises. That in Isaiah 61, God promises, I will give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning and grief, a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. And maybe some cracked foundations in your family, in your marriage, that God will take our brokenness and He will give us wholeness in response. That God is able to take the fragments and the broken pieces of those areas in our life, and He is able to give us wholeness, newness, and the joys of new beginnings today. So right now, could I just humbly ask that you bow your heads and close your eyes, and maybe you're looking at one of those areas. Maybe it's your family life. Maybe it's your role as part of a larger community. Maybe it's your vocation, your work, your studies, any activity that you do, or maybe it's your legacy, your children or grandchildren, whatever it is. And maybe there are some fractures there somewhere. I want to give you the opportunity right now that we can make a decision right here, right now, that like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house right now, we will lay the foundation that is Jesus Christ Himself. So if that's you, with every head bowed and eye closed, can I just ask you to lift your hand if you'd like to be included in that prayer? Maybe there are some fractures and brokenness in some of those areas. I'm going to pray and I'd like to include you in that. And in this prayer, you're going to declare that right now, may have not had a good beginning, but as of this day, I'm going to start over and I'm going to lay a brand new foundation, and that is Jesus Christ Himself. Father, I just thank You for every hand lifted, Lord God. I thank You, Holy Spirit, that as You move and minister right now, Lord God, that You are repairing brokenness, that You are bringing back wholeness and health, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God, that You are digging brand new footings, Lord, and that the deeper we go, the deeper the foundation, that the higher the building, the further we can go, Lord God, and build on. So I thank You, Lord God, right now for every hand lifted, for every single person that is responding, Lord God. I pray in particular, Lord God, for generations, Lord God, that are away from you right now. We call them back in the name of Jesus, that what you have declared, Lord God, as we have trained them in your ways, even in their old age, they will not depart from you. I thank you, Lord God, that you are calling them back. I thank you, Lord God, that even though they've been held back, but it's just like a bow that has been pulled back, that they will be propelled forward further than we can ever imagine. So, Father, we just thank you right now that you are bringing healing, wholeness, and strength, Lord God, that you are fortifying where there are fractures, that you are bringing wholeness right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Awesome.
Thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned for new messages weekly. You can keep updated on what's happening in the life of King's Church by following us on social media at King's Church GC. Be blessed.